We're now recording.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's DSSA call on Thursday the 21st of July. We have Patrick van der Waal, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Mike O'Connor, Olivier Crépin-Leblon, Rosella Mattioli, Takayasu Matsura, Adam Palmer, Mark Costas, Sean Copland, André Philippe, Edmund Chung. From staff we have Patrick Jones, Julie Headland, Bart Borswinkel, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies noted today from David Conrad, Mark Elkins, Bill Manning, Jim Galvin, and Rafik Damak. Don Blumenthal has just joined the call as well, and if I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, and for Patrick Jones and Patrick van der Waal to please say their surnames to allow us to identify yourselves. And Jörg Schweiger has just joined the call as well. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela, and welcome, everybody. If you haven't joined the Adobe Room, that would be a good thing. I could use it a lot, and somebody needs to mute. We're getting a lot of walking around the kitchen kind of noise. Fine. The agenda is pretty straightforward today. We let people update their statements of interest and then spend the bulk of the call on taking a look at the work that we did in Singapore around...
I didn't end it.
I didn't either. I'll let Gisela take care of that.
We're sorting that out. Apologies.
No worries. Maybe we'll get audio on it. Who knows? Make lemonade out of that one. Anyway, we'll spend most of the time summarizing the stuff we did in Singapore. Hopefully through Adobe, but if not, I'll do it over the phone and we'll proceed from there. Just as a backup for people, I sent out the summaries of the Singapore meeting a few days ago on the main DSSA list, and if you roll back to that email while we're doing the statements of interest and just get the confidential information summary open on your own desktops. That way, if the Adobe Room doesn't restart, we...
It's up again, Mikey. I'm just letting everyone back in.
Okey-doke. While that's happening, let's... do the always, at least in the GNSO, we always take a moment at the beginning of meetings to give people an opportunity to let us know about any changes in their statement of interest. And so, since I don't have the Adobe Room in front of me, I'll have to let people just sort of sing out. But if anybody's had a change of employment or a change of circumstance that would indicate that they should change their statement of interest, it would be a good time to let us know right now.
Well, I'm Rosella, and I have a change.
What is that change, Rosella?
Actually, I'm doing this 6 weeks internship at the Freie Universität in Berlin about BGP-Sec and security mechanism about BGP. I don't know if it's like it's important for the statement of interest to change this part. And I will, after like at the end of August, I will be back in Estonia to finish my master in cybersecurity.
Terrific. Thanks, Rosella. That's perfect. If you could summarize that and Gisela, what's the process that we use these days to actually update the statements of interest?
If you could send it through to us and we'll put it up on the wiki.
Ah, perfect. Yeah.
Thank you, Rosella. Gisela here.
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else with a change in their statement of interest? Not hearing anybody. Last chance. Okay. I'm still not in the Adobe room. Or other
you need
books.
To refresh, Mikey.
Pardon me, Cheryl?
You need to refresh. Reload the room and you'll get back in.
Enter, okay. I've never had the Adobe room fail before.
Thank you.
There we go. Gisela, you're going to have to get that light power.
Sorry, we just got one very noisy line there. We're just trying to find out who it is.
Okay.
I'm giving you the powers now, Mikey.
Yep. Should be seeing it again. Okay. Thanks, Gisela, for getting that back going so quick. All right, so what we did in Singapore, split into five groups. I adopted the convention of just putting people's names on the group, and we have one group that I didn't know the name of the person, so that's the mysterious question mark group. What I thought we would do today is try something. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, we'll do something else. But we will develop a summary by letting each group sort of go through their work. A lot of people were hoping that we would spend some time in Singapore doing this, but I knew we wouldn't have enough time to really do these justice. So I didn't do that, but in fact planned on a call like today's. So the way this call will work is we will just sort of work our way through the various groups, Mark's group, Edmund's group, Scott's, Katrina's, and the one I didn't know the name of. We'll give you each a few minutes to just sort of tell us what you came up with, and then as we go, we'll start building the summary of this and see sort of where we wind up. So that's sort of the plan. And so the question of the moment is, who'd like to go first? That a gracious pause, and then if nobody wants to go first, I'll just pick people at random.
Mikey?
Yes, sir.
Hi, it's Don Blumenthal. I'm in kind of a noisy area, so I can't talk long, but I thought I'd mention the question marks was my group. It was like me, Keith, Drazik, Olivier. So whatever that's worth, I'll add that to the notes.
Okay, well, because you are going to be dropping off, I'll put Olivier's name on it. Go from there.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Like I said, I'm in a noisy area.
Okay, well, since you're going to be dropping off the call soon, I'll let Olivier be the summarizer when we get to that one.
Okay.
Olivier's raised. Go ahead, Olivier. Oh, you may be muted, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Mikey. I was just going to mention, I'm not sure whether it was our group, because I thought I was in the same group as with Edmund. So it would be strange to have two sheets rather than one. But if Don recognizes his handwriting there, then fine. But it's definitely not mine.
Okay, maybe I need to retract. I didn't remember Edmund being in our group.
Here's the sheet. Somebody recognizes that sheet.
Okay, I'm not on Adobe, so I'll have to take your word.
Well, we'll handle that as we go. Anyway, anybody want to start with summarizing? Meanwhile, I roll the screen around a little bit. Okay, I'm going to start picking on, and think I'll pick on Edmund and Olivier since they were in the same group. Open up your stuff. I came up with my own sort of topology there for you. Edmund, Olivier, either of you guys want to walk us through your stuff?
This is Edmund. A couple of things, I guess. So first of all, you were talking about that earlier. I think I missed the last part of the session in Singapore, so that might have been the reason for the inconsistency. I'm actually just about to board. I sort of mentioned it over email. So I'm not in front of the computer and don't see the sheets. So I wonder if Olivier, you can help me here.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
This is Olivier here.
Okay. So, looking at this, what we did was to look at the main principles for confidential information, the fact that it would be contained by small teams, that there will be a multiple number of small teams, not just one, because some confidential information will be shared among one team but might not be shared across the two teams. Most of the information we would imagine to be some trade secrets and trade data for analysis. But we could also set up several levels of disclosure, such as Chatham House rules, because if you keep confidentiality at such a level that none of the information can filter out at all, then the information is not even worth having, since it's not going to benefit anybody. So that was really the three things, and of course the signing of NDAs, I think, would be important for each one of those small teams, and really the level of confidentiality would be defined in those NDAs. So I don't know if that explains much, or any questions or comments on this?
I'll just manage the queue for a minute. Anybody got questions for Olivier and the rest of the group that worked on this? Okay, what I'm going to do, stick that in our summary as the starting point of our summary. And then as we go through the rest, we can sort of compress out the duplication. I was curious, Olivier and Edmund, about what Chatham House rules are. That was a new one. I meant to go off and learn more about it and then forgot. Do you want to expand a little bit on that? That seemed pretty interesting.
May I answer that, Mikey?
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you, Olivier, for the record. Chatham House rules, as its Wikipedia page mentions, but which I don't have up at the moment, is a system whereas information can be freely exchanged inside a group but cannot be attributed to anyone specifically outside the group. In other words, we can talk freely about some things inside the group, but if someone comes up with some particularly important revelations about anything, those can be shared outside the group, but the attribution of those words is anonymous, effectively.
It's nice actual protocol for that. That's pretty cool. Okay, so anything else that you want to say second half of your conversation in your group, types of material?
Sorry, we're just gonna, Gisela, we're just gonna mute that line.
I Mikey, it's Olivia here. Could you repeat your question, please, because I didn't hear.
Sure. I was just curious. I wanted to summarize at all the second half of your group's work, where you
talked
a little bit about types of confidential material.
Yeah, sure. We looked at the Olivia here for the record. We looked at the types of confidential information or confidential material that would be shared, and we thought that it fell mostly into two categories, one being the actual data for analysis, and the other one being internal processes or any trade secrets that any participants, primarily, I would say, from industry, would wish to share with the working group. And having more than one trade participant in the working group does mean that this information might have to be compartmentalized between the different working groups and between the different participants, so that they don't start having access to each other's data. So this is why we thought these were primarily the two types of confidential materials that would be shared. And one might have to use Chinese walls for this. I'm not sure, but this is the way that we saw it.
Okay. Any comments about this part before I drag that up into our summary from the rest of the group? Nicely done, Olivier. Thank you. I think what we'll do is we'll just sort of build out this summary as we go. And since the way this page laid out, let Mark go next, because it'll be right underneath. So, Mark, do you want to walk us through what your group talked about and then maybe help me fit it into the summary?
Okay. So my group actually worked on a little bit more on the mechanics of the agreement, and Rosella was just wonderful in her participation over the phone. So very active as well, as I'll mention. There was a couple things. People of the group thought the non-disclosure agreement and the appendix of the charter was sufficient for a non-disclosure. They thought that at the agreement that we need to have this thing signed for those who wanted to share information from the very beginning. And the assumption is underneath is that this would be done before the whole, for those people who actually want to work with confidential information, that the mechanics would already be set up before information is starting to flow. So you would have essentially have a group that would be receiving this information where all this, where the NDAs are already signed. Go ahead. People like the idea of having special, different levels of confidentiality. And to be honest, I'm trying to rack my mind on the three levels that we discussed. Maybe Rosella can remember. I can't. All right, I don't right now. I don't have my notes in front of me. Rosella, do you have anything to add?
Okay, I have the microphone off. Here is Rosella. I think that the three levels of confidentiality were like secret, and I will look for them and then post on the chat so we can move on and we can add subtopics.
Okay, Mikey, I'm done.
All right. Any other comments? And do you think that I put your stuff in the right place? So I've taken much of your stuff and put it under the non-disclosure agreements area, and I've expanded the. Here's a question back to Olivier. Does Chatham House handle levels of confidentiality fairly well? Your experience? that?
Thank you, Mikey. This is Olivier. No, it's not something that deals with levels of confidentiality. What it actually does is to make the information freely available outside, so the information does not remain confidential, but the source of the information remains confidential. It is there to help out with flow of information. So I would say that Chatham House is one of the lower levels of confidentiality. If you want higher levels of confidentiality, you'd have to be outside of Chatham House rules, and you'd have to mark things as restricted or whatever it is you want to define it as. You might wish to restrict it to a small group, restrict it to only a handful of participants. But Chatham House is the lower part of confidentiality. Because there's a lower level than that. Sorry, Olivier, continuing, rambling on. Unfortunately, there's a lower level than that, which is the full disclosure.
Yeah, so maybe we could replicate those. We could say full disclosure. Chatham House, and then higher levels. I guess I've got these in reverse order. The lowest level is full disclosure, then Chatham House, then higher, more secure, right? More sensitive.
That's correct, yeah.
Just going to take a short process checkpoint. Is this process driving people crazy, or can we keep going this way? The nice thing about this is that we sort of wind up with a self-documented result, and if it's all right for people to see it on the screen as I type it, I'll keep going. But if it's distracting or uncomfortable, please let me know. Okay, so Mark, that's it for your summary, is that right?
That is correct, thank you.
Okay. Now, figure out how to switch things around. Those other ones. If I leave the screen that small, can people still read it? Sing out if you cannot read it. It makes it easier for me to expand the topics if I can leave it this small. Scott, are you on the phone? Or anybody in Scott's group? This would have been Scott.
Hey, Mikey. It's Scott here.
Cool.
Hey, sorry, I'm in the middle of a trade show, so I'm trying to do two things at one time here. So I do not have what you have up on the screen.
Okay. Let me just see if anybody else in Scott's group is on the call, and if not, I will summarize for you, and you can hit me with a stick if I do it wrong. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Anybody else in Scott's group that's able to see Adobe and wants to do this? Okay. Let me do it. One of the two major topics that Scott and his colleagues came up with was first the question, what is sensitive? And the two subpoints that were made there was who defines it as sensitive, and then I think what the group said was let the source of the information be the primary definer of what the sensitive information is. And it seems to me that this fits pretty well into this levels of confidentiality discussion. So I think what I'm going to do is put it over there in that area, and I'm going to put it kind of at the top because it seems to me that that question precedes the rest, which is once it's defined as sensitive, then it can be placed in its appropriate level by the group and managed by the appropriate rules. The other topic that they talked about, which I thought was really interesting, was the answer to the question, how to protect sensitive information. And the group's answer was, attempt to obtain and produce information without the need for non-disclosure agreements. And I thought I would circle back to you, Scott, and put you on the spot a little bit. I thought this was a really interesting idea, and I was wondering if you could expand on it just a little bit.
Sure. So, pardon the background noise if there's any of the background.
Oh, that's good, actually.
So what we were coming from a few of our paths from the group, we had to deal with these types of situations and with other forms of data. What we had come up with was basically if we need to solicit or need to request information from a party, to have that party sanitize it down to where you take out the details that may trace it back to a source. So I'll use, for example, say VeriSign, for instance. We question VeriSign for data. Instead of them coming back and posting in data, they have a mechanism to post it through maybe DICAM staff and without any association to VeriSign. So to take out basically and create an anonymity to that data versus having it come from a direct source.
Scott, let me switch over to Olivier. Is this similar to the Chatham House idea? Or is
nope.
this yet another thing?
Not.
Okay. I think then what we're going to do...
And that wasn't Olivier.
No, it didn't sound like Olivier. It sounded a lot more like Cheryl. Welcome back.
It's Olivier here, and Cheryl, a lot faster on the trigger than I am.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Okay, so I'm going to put this in our principles. Yep. Again, I think that, I like the simplicity of that, which is if the sensitivity never gets to the working group, that certainly makes it a lot easier to manage. And so maybe what we can do is try and figure out a protocol where, unless it's really needed, the non-sanitized detail just doesn't get to the working groups. Because I am a little worried that the working groups will get wrapped up into a very complicated process that may slow them down a bit. Was that sort of where you were headed, Scott?
Kind of, yeah. So for the most part. So the other question on that is, and we don't know, to this extent until we post this question, is, would a registry or a registrar, if we ask for sensitive data, be okay basically sanitizing a report from themselves, stripping out their names, passing it to ICANN staff for ICANN staff to distribute versus them distributing it. So I don't know if they would have any concerns with that, but I think that, or we can use a third party if need be to do that task.
Well, that's exactly where I was headed, and so you like channeled my typing. Is the thought of using an independent third party that, when I was with the Big Six firms, we used to do services like this where we would be the intermediary to strip off the identity. Olivier, is your hand up from before and I just didn't see it, or is that a new hand?
No, Mikey, it's a new hand. Olivier here. I was just going to say, this is effectively Chatham housing it, isn't it? The taking away the name. But I don't think that the sanitizing part only looks at taking the name out or the source of the information out and sharing it via a neutral third party. I think there is some genuine information out there, such as, I don't know, for example, number of attacks daily on Network X, which are particularly sensitive because this really is real data from out there, and it might be used by the competition for whatever purposes. So I think there are two levels. There's desanitizing it by taking names out or chathamizing it, and these desanitizing by actually taking any sentence which is a little bit which comes up with some real info, real strategic info out of the report. And I'm a little concerned about that, because taking any such information out of a report will probably make it less useful for us at the end of the day. Thank you.
Okay, let me capture that trade-off.
Mike, if I can be put in the queue, Scott.
Go ahead, Scott.
So just to reply on that, obviously there is data that will respond to specific networks. From my understanding, we all signed the NDA on the DIS working group, which would restrict competitors from using that data against each other. Now, I understand there's some illegalities there, but has everyone signed the NDA?
Scott, this is Mikey. Let me break in on that. Actually, not. It turns out that one of the things we'll do right at the end is take a look at the relevant parts of the charter. And it turns out that we in the GNSO interpreted the charter a bit differently than it's actually written. The charter actually states that signing an NDA is not required for participation in the working group. And the way the charterers envisioned this was that the NDA required information would reside in subgroups, and that subgroup members would sign the NDA, but that the whole working group did not require that. And that's part of what we need to sort out with this. We in the GNSO
lost Mikey.
Hey, Mikey, you there? Scott.
Mikey's just disconnected.
It was sort of sage-like wisdom being imparted, and then it just faded away. We in the GNSO? Nothing.
Well, it's Olivia here. I just wonder, as one of the co-chairs, shall I take over in the meantime while Mikey is offline and gets back in, so we don't lose any time?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, right. Scott, have we finished with the part that you were going through, or?
Yes. Yeah, I was just bringing up the point about the NDA. So if the GNSO has read it differently than other parties, other SOCACs and groups, and I think that needs to be addressed.
How do you think it should be addressed? Because the whole group will therefore not sign an NDA, but the confidential information will be shared among the subgroups
and
will have signed NDAs.
Yes, so if we're putting this into subgroups or putting it, as I would call, into a caveat and limiting just that group, that subgroup, to the information, if there's NDAs in place, putting that legal agreement in there, I would feel safe sharing pertinent data with that subgroup. Now, that's my own personal opinion, not that of others. So.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
You're back, Mikey.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
No problem. I'll pass the baton back to you.
Any highlights of what I missed? Sorry about that. I've totally changed my telephone infrastructure. It shouldn't fall again.
Olivier here, Scott was just explaining the fact that the subgroup would have to sign an NDA, and so the different levels, effectively.
And I think that's the way our charterers envisioned it, was that the NDA signing would take place at the lower level. Julie, do you want to chime in on that?
Mikey, this is Julie. Yeah, actually, I think you're correct about that. I don't have anything to add to what you've said. I think it's very clear.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Scott, in your summary?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Well, we've got two to go. So, in Katrina's group, one of the interesting things that went on there was they actually named a platform. Katrina, are you in the call? Anybody else that was in her group?
Yes, Mikey. Diego Espinosa from .er. I'm in the group of Katrina.
Oh, great. Can you be the summarizer of what you all were talking about?
Yes, sure. We didn't talk too much. Sorry, you asked me for a summarize?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what is NASAP. Katrina mentioned and Guideline, but personally, I don't know them. But it looks like a tool used by some T-certs. We discussed about principles in this confidential information, and one of my parts in this is have all information that is need to work. In this way, don't care or don't have information that is not needed. Usually, there's many information sharing, and not necessarily all information is needed. In the confidential information, this could be critical. Then, I think it's important to take account to have only the information needed to do the work. The other thing we're talking about was the username and the using password is not enough to protect information. We need a third or fourth level of protection. And the encryption when information is stored is important too.
Terrific. I was pretty interested in the Nisus platform. Is there anybody else on the call that knows anything about this? It seems like something useful to explore. So I put it in the summary. Maybe the ops gang can take an action item to explore it a little bit and see what it is and how it might work and what it would cost and so on and so forth, and come back to the larger group with ideas about that and what we've discovered. Jörg, go ahead. You may be muted, Jörg. This one's a *6 unmute.
Okay, so now I'm
there
in.
We go. Now you're in.
Yeah, just want to add that we have been talking about the platform very, very briefly, and that it is a platform that has been provided for within the European community, and there is a website, www.nisa.eu, where everybody can take a look at what is being provided, although I'm aware of the fact that this might still be a prototype, and this prototype seems to be used by the third organization. That's all I know right now, but that might give some information or additional information currently.
So the website is...
I think it was www.nisa.eu.
We'll get that. I'll get that tuned up when I do the notes. Any other thoughts about this from other folks? Okay. Thank you for your summary. Now, this isn't really Olivier. It's a question mark. Let me throw a picture up. Let people look at it. Maybe somebody on the call will recognize this. Picture. Say, oh, I was in that. Anybody manage this one? If not, I'll summarize it, but it's always better to not talk. I'm not hearing an overwhelming rush to gates, so I'll summarize it. As you might expect, there are some themes that are starting to emerge that cut across these groups. I think the attribution theme falls into our pretty extensive discussion about the levels of confidentiality and so I think I'm going to put it in there. There, like that. Oops. And this was the conversation about level disclosure. And again, this seemed to me to fit a level area at there. For now, maybe the need to work issue can move down there too. Then, that talked about mechanisms for agreeing to the public output, enforcement. And so on. Olivier, I see your hand up. You want to jump in on any of this?
Thank you, Mikey. It's Olivier here for the record. Just one thing. You've put attribution to the three levels on the branch of the three levels of confidentiality. It actually would probably be on the how to protect sensitive info, because attribution works along with what Scott was working on, which was the way to share information out. Via ICANN staff or an independent third party. I gather, without knowing what attribution meant, it probably wasn't in there.
So let's move it like that. Is that what you're...
Whether the comments or whether the information is attributed to any specific organization or whether it is shared anonymously.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
Spelling job, Mike. Oh, no spell check. Oh, you guys are going to get to watch spelling. You know, it's been years since I've had to admit to how bad I can't spell, but there you go. I'll fix that later. How about disclosure one? Did I put that in the right spot? Let's see. Where did I... I'm starting to get a little wilted. Put it down here. In the notion of confidentiality, we have internal, external, yes or or no, published or not. And then a pretty interesting question. We need to define who is internal and who is not. And in one of the other ones, the issue of sort of checking people in and out of the working group also got raised, which I thought was a pretty good one. Check. Oh, so my call quality isn't good. If I get closer to the mic, Gisela,
sorry, Mikey, it's Gisela here. I don't know if anyone else hears it, but occasionally you break off and there's
interference. Yeah, what I've done is I've spoke to a voice IP line and I'm beating the heck out of my connection because I'm also using the same internet connection to share my screen on. I bet that's what's going on. But I will walk around my house and encourage people to stop using the internet while this continues. Let me know if it's really bad, and I'll try something else. So back to the point of disclosure in the summary. I'm going to tentatively take that as okay. The next thing the group spoke about was, again, the gating of information in and out. And Olivier, would you agree that this one is best placed close to the attribution one if I put it up in here, that sense, or is this really more mechanical kind of thing? I mean, what we could do is we could start building essentially a mechanics section. No, I'm not going to get carried away on that. And then the other point that people in this group raised, which I thought was really interesting, was a code of conduct. And I wanted to pause and take maybe the last couple of minutes on. We're getting close to the end of the call, and we'll have to wrap this up. But what do people feel about a code of conduct for the group as a thing to do? Are people enthusiastic about that? Are they not enthusiastic about it? Is it covered by the charter? What do people think? Jörg, go ahead. Maybe muted Jörg.
Jörg, for the record, I'm not too keen on stating yet another code of conduct in addition to what has already been said in the charter. So, and where we for sure do have to agree on the code once again, I think what has to be done is quite clear, and that is handle information that is supposed to be confidential and come up with a result that is anonymized in some way or is usable for the group as a whole. And I personally do not see yet another need to describe any processual information, but these are just my 5 cents.
Thanks, Jörg. Anybody else got thoughts on this? This is maybe one to think about, and we might want to revisit next week. I haven't thought about it, quite frankly. Never experienced one before at ICANN, and so I think I have scratched my head over that. I thought it was a pretty interesting idea to think about, and at a minimum, it will go in the summer. We're 5 minutes away from the end of the call. I want to take you really briefly what the charter says. And I'll fold this into the summary. But what the charter says is that there are some working groups may need to be formed. The charter has left us the flexibility to do that if we felt like we needed to. The charter then laid out essentially high-level procedures, which when I look at them, don't conflict with what we talked about. We essentially got to a lower level of detail than the charter did. And then this point that we got to earlier in the call that, in fact, participation does not require an NDA, but that participation in a subgroup probably would, depending on the structure that we put in place. What they were talking about with the subworking groups is that subgroups would only be required where subworking groups need to access confidential information. I'm going to push back a little bit on that. We may actually find that we need subworking groups for other things simply because we need to break work in chunks. I don't think that the charters will beat us up if we do that. I think they were mostly trying to solve the confidential information problem. But I think that, you know, we may just find, as we do that in some other working groups, that we just need to break the work into pieces, and I wouldn't imagine that causes a problem. And then some of the mechanics. So what I'll do is I'll sort of fold all this together in that summary that we started building today, and maybe what we can do is circle back around and do it again in the first part of the call next week and then move on to the next chunk. So with that, we're 2 minutes away from the end of the call. I want to take a process checkpoint here and see what people thought of this as a way to give the work in Singapore its appropriate attention. Did this feel like a good way to do that? Is there something I could do differently or better? I'd really want to hear about it because, quite frankly, this is the first time I've attempted using this tool and doing this thing on a call this large, and I'm not sure I did a good job. So any feedback would be much appreciated. If it's fine, there's no need for feedback, but if there's a course correction needed, please provide it, either now or if there isn't time or you don't want to you don't want to say bad things about me in front of everybody, feel free to send me an email. But if I don't hear anything from people either right now or over the next week, I think I'll go ahead and do it again. Carlos made a good point that it's probably easier to follow if you were in Singapore, although I'm not sure. Anything else before we
Mikey, this is Julie. I just wanted to refer to the question that Mary Wong had asked to the list as far as how to share the summary of the information from the Singapore meeting.
Right. Mary wrote an email, and I think it was just to you and me. Are those summaries that I published to the list going to get posted to the wiki? And that's a good question. Let's ask the group. Does anybody have an objection if we posted those to the wiki along with the summary that we're building right now? I have no reason not to do that. But if anybody's got an issue, this would be a good time to raise that. I'm getting lots of objections coming in through the chat, so it sounds like that's what we'll do.
Cheryl here, Mikey. I don't have any objection at all. I think it should be, but rather than using your not quite so unique identifiers, which include question marks, could we not just, for the public digestion of our work out of Singapore,
change the, you know, the Olivia Mark Edmund nomenclature to work team ABCD or QXYZ,
yeah.
I don't really care. And therefore, the question marks are no longer an issue because they're simply anonymized work teams.
That sounds like a great solution to that puzzler. I'll do that. Great idea.
Then I'm happy.
Cool. Okay. We're at the top of the hour, actually a minute past, so I'm going to end the call and thank you all for your and Jorg is, well, I'll tell you what, Jorg will take your question offline. I would do just briefly is listen to the MP3, and take a look at my summary and do essentially a compilation and compress out some of the duplication in it and then send a new document to the list that's my first draft of the summary along with this complete summary so that we haven't lost anything. My goal is to put any information on the way, so I'll keep preserving it all until we've gotten to a summary that we like, and then the final thing will be the one that we really work from. Okay, that's it, folks. See you in a week.
Thank you. We're off,
and we'll carry on from here. Thanks again.
Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks very much,
Mikey.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.